She comes back, she says, yes, I'm expecting. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells her, well then, wait till you have the child. Now in that time, she is not put in prison. There is no parole officer going to visit her to make sure she is in the safe house or she is where she is or whatever. Nothing of the sort. She is a free person. She could have ran away, she could have got onto a ship and went away to Abyssinia or whatever she wanted to do. She could have ran away. But this was their iman. That when the baby was born, she came back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When she comes back, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells her, well now you're feeding the baby. So you wean the baby, get the baby onto solids, and then after that we'll see. Now again, she got a 2-year period, because weaning takes approximately 2 years. Now again, she got a 2-year period to elope, to run away. But nothing of the sort. She comes back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the child has been weaned, and she shows Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the child is holding a piece of bread in its hand and the child is eating. Here the child is eating solids. So now mete out the punishment to me. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to have her stoned to death, because now this is what she wants. She wants the punishment to be meted out to her. She has come on so many occasions. And then she is stoned to death. When they were stoning her, and obviously this is a punishment. This is not some pastime or some walk in the park. This is a punishment for one of the most serious crimes in Islam, which is zina. So it's not something that's going to be a fairy tale. It's not something that's pretty to look at. So she is stoned to death. Now when they stone a woman to death, the procedure is you dig a hole and you put her into that hole, because you don't want unnecessary stones hitting her. The stone is going to hit her leg, is going to hit her ribs, is not going to be fatal. So you don't want all the unnecessary stones hitting her. You want a stone that is going to hit her in a place where it is going to be fatal. She must pass away quickly. This is a had. So when she was being stoned, and one stone was thrown on her, and that was the stone that, you know, caused her to bleed, and the blood came gushing out. So one sahabi who was there, he started coming, you know, walking back, and he made a statement. He made some statement like he doesn't want this filthy blood to come on him of this person who has committed this type of a crime. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded that sahabi. And he said, what do you know? The tawbah that she has made, if it is distributed amongst the entire community, it will be sufficient to get everybody forgiven. The type of tawbah that she has made. One sahabi commits zina, comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have committed zina. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns his face away. He comes on that side, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have committed zina. Mete out the punishment to me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns his face away. He goes on the other side. He says, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have committed zina. Mete the punishment out to me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns his face away from him. For the fourth time he comes. So when he comes for the fourth time, now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that now you have brought the punishment upon yourself. Now four times you have mentioned this thing. You are asking for the punishment. Now we got no right not to mete this punishment out to you. So they wanted the punishment in the dunya, because they were afraid of punishment in the akhirat. So they felt that they rather get punishment here in the dunya. And if you look in the whole history of Islam, the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhum, isolated incidents. One incident you'll find where somebody committed zina. Now sometime a doubt can come in a person's mind. Sahaba committed zina? How can Sahaba commit zina? So we must remember that this was zamana of tarbiyat. People had just accepted Islam. They just accepted Islam now. They still had many, many weaknesses in them, which was cleansed as the days went by. That is one. The other is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a duty to practically show us how every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be carried out. So these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were sacrificed for our sake. They were sacrificed for the ta'lim of the ummah. They were sacrificed for the ta'lim, for the education of the ummah. It had to be shown practically. So these crimes had to happen to someone for the had to be meted out practically. So when these ayat, this is what we are talking about, that when these ayat were revealed of lashing and of rajam, etc., and it was revealed that you must produce four witnesses, and if you accuse a person and you don't come with four witnesses, then that person is off the hook. But you now are in a problem because you are going to get 80 lashes for slandering somebody. So one Sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what if a husband has to catch his wife committing zina? At that time, where is he going to get four witnesses? Where is he going to go and find four witnesses? By the time he goes to find four witnesses, that person will run away. And if he has to kill that person, now he's in a problem because he took a life. So this Sahabi is telling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no, Allah Pak will find a way out here. That it can't be just like this. He's telling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling him that see, up to now there's nothing revealed. If now this type of incident has to happen, we have to go by these ayat. Few days later, the exact same thing what he was talking about happened to his cousin. Comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what happened to my cousin. Now he doesn't have four witnesses. Now if he comes forward and he brings this complaint, he'll get lashed 80 lashes. If he keeps quiet, how is he going to live with that wife? When this case came, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of what we call li'an. That if a husband has to catch his spouse committing zina or vice versa, now at that time there's no witnesses and all that, so then the husband comes to court, to the Islamic court, and he files a complaint. So then he is asked to take a qasam. He must take four qasams, must take four oaths to say that what he is saying is true. And if he is speaking lies, then Allah's curse must be upon him. Then the spouse is asked, that do you concur with what the spouse is saying? So if that spouse denies, so now that spouse must take four qasams to say that the complainant is talking lies. And if I am lying, then the anger of Allah must be upon me. Now once this is done, then automatically this husband and wife are now separated. The nikah is broken. It's finished. But the point here, we're not going into the details of the masla. The point here is this, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't find it below himself to say that, you know what, there's nothing at the moment. On another occasion, You see, the Arabs in Jahiliyyah, before Islam, women folk won't inherit. Right? They don't inherit anything. So the women folk, whether it's daughters, whether it's the wife, the mother, whatever, she don't inherit anything. Then minor children, if he's a son also, but he's a minor, he can't ride a horse as yet. So he too doesn't inherit. So there was one Sahabi, that they had their own rules, they had their own way of doing things, Jahiliyyah, the way in ignorance. So one Sahabi, now this was before the laws of inheritance had been revealed in the Quran Sharif. This one Sahabi passed away. He left behind a wife, two daughters, and a minor son. Nobody else. So his two cousins, his father's brother's children, two cousins from the paternal cousins, they came and they said, right, everything is ours. Because you're a lady, you don't inherit. Your two daughters, they don't inherit. This minor son, he is too small, he can't inherit. Everything is ours. So this lady, she pleaded with them. She said, look, if you don't want us to inherit anything, you don't want to leave anything, right, no problem. At least marry my two daughters. Marry these two daughters. I will sort something out for myself. I'll look after the baby. These two daughters of mine, marry them, so at least they are taken care of. So they refused to do this also. So she came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my halat, this is my condition now. They have taken everything away and I've got these two daughters and I've got the baby to look after, got myself. Now at that time there were no ayat as yet. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that, see, make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way out. Allah Pak will make a way out. Then when this incident happened, when she came and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to her like that, then the ayat were revealed with regards to inheritance in the Quran Sharif. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called those two cousins, they bring everything back. You are not going to get anything here. The wife is going to get so much, daughters are going to get so much, the son is going to get so much. Then we may say, but this is all with regards to outsiders. Look at the incident where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own wife, Ma'aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, we had discussed this incident in detail, but just appreciate this angle of it, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own wife, Ma'aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is being accused. Of, they're accusing her, slandering her, right? At that time also, although it was his own wife and most beloved wife at the time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't pass any ruling on his own until wahi comes. Until wahi comes, then only does Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak. So we must take a lesson from there. Many a time we get involved also in futile discussions, heavy, heavy arguments, deep, deep discussions on deen we are having. And we got little bit knowledge here, that one got little bit knowledge there, and we trying to prove something, and what that person is saying is wrong and what this person is saying is right, whereas we haven't even looked up anything, we haven't even studied deen properly. So if we are asked a question, we don't know the answer, we mustn't find it below ourselves to say, I don't know. That is also part of knowledge. To be able to say, I don't know, is also part of deen, is also part of knowledge. The other thing with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the last point in this section that we will discuss, that despite being the Nabi of Allah and despite being the most knowledgeable on earth, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still used to make mashwara with the Sahaba. He would still make mashwara with the Sahaba. And at times he would take their opinion. and leave his opinion. The one incident that comes to mind is on the occasion of Uhud. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, he said, well, this Kuffar army is advancing to Madinah Sharif, and what's your mashwara? Should we stay in Madinah Sharif, you know, like remain in Madinah Sharif and defend ourselves, or should we go out of Madinah Sharif and meet the army? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, his opinion was that they should stay in Madinah Sharif. They shouldn't go out. But many Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who had not taken part in Badr, they were now thirsting to get onto the battlefield. They wanted to prove to Allah Pak their loyalty to Islam. So they said, no, Nabi Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's go out and meet them. They were showing their, you know, like their loyalty to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to Allah Pak. No, we don't want to just sit here, let's go out and we go and meet them out. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into his house to put on his armor. Now when he went inside the house, now the other Sahaba, they're saying, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's opinion was to stay in Madinah Sharif. You all are forcing him and you all are making this opinion that he must go out. So they realized. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of the house and he was already in his armor. So then they approached him and they said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, make us maaf. I mean, you know, we should have rather just taken your opinion. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, it's not appropriate for a Nabi of Allah. And once he has made a decision, the decision was made in Mashwara. So once the decision has been made and I've already put on my armor, now it's not appropriate for me to remove this armor until I get onto the battlefield. So he took the opinion of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and we can't take the opinion of our wives. In some things we can't, but sometimes we must consult even our children, consult them, consult the wife, consult our parents, consult some elders. We get direction. And then some people have a sickness, they consult too much. They ask everybody. And after asking everybody, they're still on the same spot. So now they're even more confused than when they started out. Because every person they ask, they give them a different story. But these are the few lessons that we take from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this aspect of his life, of him issuing rulings, issuing fatwas, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. Subhanallah.